Morning, church.
Now, our gospel reading for today is taken from Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 24. So, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn them with me to Luke chapter 15, 11 to 24. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your presence with us this morning, Lord. We know that you are here with us, O God. Lord, we humbly ask that you just fill every corner of this place, Lord, with your presence right now. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll be the one to minister to each and every heart, O God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your Shekinah glory, O God, would just cover us right now, O Lord. And may you allow your word, O God, to be preached with anointing and clarity, O God. And we pray, Lord, that you will be the one to accomplish what you purposed this day for, Lord. This is our prayer to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, our story goes that there was a man who had two sons. And according to the Lord Jesus Christ, the younger son went to the father and asked for his inheritance while his father was still alive. Now, friends, during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, this was one of the most embarrassing, most disgusting, and most insulting thing that a son can ever do to a father. He's just like saying, "Dad, give me your wealth, give me your properties, give me all the things you can give me, but I don't want to have anything to do with you." He's just like saying, "Father, bless me, do this for me, do that for me. I only want your wealth, but you know what, Father? Dad, I don't want you. I only want the things that you can do for me." So you see, friends, we see here a very selfish, ungrateful, and very rebellious son. But you know what? And I say this in respect. How many of you realize that this story is not just about the story of the son, but it's a story of my life, and it's a story of all your lives? And by that, I mean, how many times have you ever come before God and asked God, "God, please protect me. God, please protect my children. God, please do me this favor. Lord, palihog, Lord, buhata ni Lord. Lord, bantayi mi Lord. Lord, tagai mi Lord sa among makanunon, among pinipanginanglan." How many times have we come before God and asked God for so many things? But you know what, friends? Yet your mouth may not say it, but the way you live your life, you're just telling God, "You know what, God? I just want your blessings. I just want the things you can do for me. But God, I'll take you seriously later. Unyat na lang ka, Lord. I want to live my own life right now." Your mouth may not say it, but your action is telling God, "You know what, God? I just want all the things you can do for me. But God, I don't want you." Now again, your mouth may not say it, but how many of you know that action speaks louder than words? So you see, friends, this story here is not just about the story of the son, but it's a story for each and every one of us. It's a story of our lives. Now moving on, verse 13, the Lord Jesus continues to say, says here, "Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. Now, from this verse, we can see that this rebellious son decided to distance himself from the father. He decided to move from his father. He went into a far place. Now, maybe this son was thinking, my father is so controlling. My father is so killjoy. If he's around, I cannot do the things I want. So he decided to move away. And the Bible tells us when he moved away from his father, he lived a reckless life. Maybe he was partying, he was clubbing. In other words, he was doing all those things that his heart desired. No, he was doing all those things that he couldn't do if his father was around. Now, friends, this decision to leave his father speaks a lot about the character of his boy. He loved wild living more than he loved his father. He loved sinning more than he loved his father. I mean, he loved sinning so much. He loved the sinful lifestyle so much that he didn't mind losing his relationship with his father. And so the Bible tells us that he went away and lived wildly. Now, guys, this particular verse actually gives us a very clear picture of what sin really is. Now, the sins in our life, whether they're big or small, mortal sin or venial sin, it doesn't matter. The sins in our life brings us far away from God. The sins in our life, regardless they're small sins or big sins, it creates a very big gap between us and God. Now, the Bible is very clear that the God of heaven is a holy God. In fact, when the angels in heaven worship God, they address him as the holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts. Meaning to say, on top of God's attribute, it is his holiness. And God, being holy, no single sin can ever stand in his presence. No single sin can ever come near God. So whether big sin or small sin, it takes us away from God. So wild living or sinful lifestyle can never go hand in hand with the holy God. Now, back in the days while I was still young, and mind you, I was a very religious person. Adis-adis ko sa una, religyoso sa go. So there was one time I went to a confession to a priest because I was so guilty with the things that I've done. And what the priest told me, he said, "Dong maayo ra gyud nangumpisal ka dong. Do you know that one single sin is enough to separate you from God for the rest of eternity? Kibao ba ka dong that one single sin is good enough to send you to hell forever and ever?" And you know what, friends? I couldn't agree more. Because when I began to read my Bible, that's what the Bible says. A single sin can separate us from the Lord for eternity. Now, kisa may wa nakasala dari. Kita magisiyotanan, no? And the sad truth is this, guys. Sin has the power to enslave. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." According to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have committed sin, you have already been enslaved to sin. He who commits sin is enslaved to sin. That's why, friends, sinful things are very hard to resist. That's why pornography is very hard to resist. Because sin has the power to enslave. That's why drugs, drunkenness, alcohol, that's why they're very hard to resist. Because they have the power to enslave. That's why chismis. That's why mga libakiro, mga libakira, lisod yun kay unda upang libak, because sin has the power to enslave. Friends, today, I stand in front of you, and should I boast in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, I stand in front of you today as a man completely forgiven by God, as a man redeemed by the Lord. Now, today, I'm so thankful to God that I'm married to my college crush, and we have two beautiful kids. I work for our family business, while at the same time, I run my own business. And while doing these things, by God's grace, I'm also an associate pastor of this church. Now, what I'm saying, guys, is that by God's grace, I'm now living a fruitful and productive life. And I thank God for that. But you know what, friends? It wasn't always like this. Because some 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, I was a 16-year-old drug pusher. At 16 years old, I was already peddling drugs. Now, at 15 years old, I was already a hardcore drug addict. So at 16, I started to sell drugs. Now, you see, friends, I was raised up in a very loving family. And being the youngest, I enjoyed the perks of being everyone's favorite. I was the favorite child of the family. I have two siblings, and of course, my mom and dad. Being the youngest, I was their favorite. Now, my gap between my elder siblings is quite, you know, I think it's almost 10 years. So my two elder siblings, they're passionate Christians. While I was still young, they made sure that they sent me to Sunday school to learn about the Christian faith, to learn about the God of the Bible. So at an early age, I was somehow immersed to the Christian faith. But you know what? Like the rebellious son in the story, I thought I could be happier elsewhere. Back then, I thought church was boring. Back then, I thought Christians were weird. Para na ko before, mga chups ni mga Christian, mga turpe ni mga Christian. I find them weird. Why are they always calling each other brother and sister? I find them weird. Why are they always talking in English? Why are they always raising their hands, singing hallelujah? So, I wanted to be a cool kid. That's why, guys, in my second year high school, I started to experiment with marijuana. And not long after that, I started to use shabu. Now, I was so deceived. I thought I was in control of my vices. But guys, it's always like that. Regardless of drugs, pornography, libak, chismis, or whatever, we always think that we are in control of our sins. But let me tell you guys, the moment you engage with sin, you're actually playing with fire. You are not in control. You're not in control at all. Now, that's what I thought during before. I thought, mind lucky kay ko. I thought that I could manage it. But you know what? True to what the Lord Jesus Christ said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So it didn't take long for me at all to be hooked on drugs. And at early age of 15 years old, I was a full-blown, clinically certified drug addict. Now, it didn't take long for my addiction to completely transform my personality. I became very violent. I became very proud. And according to my sister, if she was to describe me in the past, she said, I became like a monster. Now, because of drugs, I became a totally different man. Lying and cheating became very normal for me. I swindled my friends of their money, my parents, and all those around me. I tried to steal at every opportunity I get. And because of drugs, I also became very violent. Now back then, while my classmates during that time, while they made sure they brought their books and notebooks to school, I for one made sure that I bring my gun, my knife, and my stash of drugs while I go to school. That's how I was before. I was very violent, proud, arrogant, and all those crazy things. Now today, I'm so thankful that I'm surrounded with beautiful people like you. But back then, I was in the company of drug pushers. I was in the company of thieves. At 16 years old, I was in the company of murderers, of ex-convicts. I was in the company of prostitutes. I was in the company of criminals. And there was also a time I got into gambling. And eventually, I went to casino and became a bata-bata of a VIP in casino. And I had immoral relationship with different women. Friends, I did all these things because I thought that these things would bring me happiness. I was so stupid into thinking that these things would bring satisfaction to me. Friends, I was so deceived because in reality, they only added up to the emptiness that was already inside me. They only added up to the frustrations in life. They only added more problems to me. Now, moving on, let's look at what the Lord Jesus says here in verse 14 and 16. It says here, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So the story of Jesus continues, that after the rebellious son in our story squandered his inheritance, there was a famine or there was a crisis that hit the land. Now the problem is, this rebellious son in our story have already squandered his wealth. He already squandered his inheritance. And now he is in great need. Now this time he has no more money. His friends have deserted him. And right now, most of all, he doesn't have his loving father to be with him any longer. So this rebellious son has to face this big problem on his own. And friends, come to think of it, this son here wasn't able to handle his problem pretty well. Now, when he left his father's house, he was a somebody. He had lots of money. He was living the high life. He was someone up there. He was a VIP. But right now, he was tending pigs. Now, friends, during the time of Jesus, if you're someone who's feeding pigs, you are the lowest of the low. No, from someone up there to someone who hit rock bottom. It's a very shameful thing, friends. And the point is this. Sinful lifestyle or sins will eventually bring shame in your life. Sins will eventually bring shame in your life. Now, maybe with this son, when he left his father's house, he never expected to end up this way. Maybe he was thinking the moment he received his inheritance, he was thinking, oh, I'm going to make it big in that big city. I'm going to be a big time for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be somebody. I bet when this son left his father's house, he never expected himself to be feeding pigs. Well, what, guys? That's reality. And the truth is this, friends. If you exclude the Father in your life, if you exclude God in your life, like the young man in our story, yes, you can be successful for a while, but you can never go very far. Like the young man in our story, someday you will be in great need. You will be in desperate situation just like this young man. And my point is this, someday your sins will catch up with you. Regardless whether it be in this lifetime or after this lifetime, someday your sins will catch up with you. And if you are distant from God, you have to face the problem all by yourself. So friends, never ever be deceived into thinking that it's okay to exclude God in your plans. Never be deceived into thinking that it's okay to exclude God in your lives, because that lie is a lie straight from hell. It is never okay to exclude God in your lives. Friends, never be deceived into thinking it's okay to take God seriously at 12 o'clock, because there are so many people who didn't make it at the 11th hour. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Adolf Merkley. I don't know if you've heard his story. But anyway, Adolf Merkley is a German tycoon. Now, he's one of the richest men in Europe. In fact, he's one of the richest men in the world. He's worth billions and billions of US dollars. Now, unfortunately, in 2009, because of global recession, he lost some of his personal fortune due to the bad investments he has made. So on January 5, 2009, he silently put on his coat. He told his wife that he's just going to go to the office. But sadly, he never returned home. He committed suicide by jumping in front of a train. He jumped into a railway. And friends, the irony is this. At the time of Adolf Merkley's death, his net worth was still $6 billion. $6 billion, but yet he committed suicide. So what went wrong? I mean, he was a man supposed to have everything. Nice family, thriving business, billions of dollars, but he committed suicide. Friends, what went wrong? That's why, guys, it's never, ever okay to exclude God in your lives. It's never okay to live life being distant from God. It's never okay to live life being independent of God. Now, because of my drug addiction before, as it grew, I did not care about anything or care for anyone any longer. All I cared for was drugs, drugs, and more drugs. And because of this, I started to lose my friends. I couldn't blame them, because if I was around them, only one thing is for sure. I would borrow money. And I had a very clever way of borrowing money. I can be a dramaturgo, I can be an artista. I mean, mangutang yung ko taman sa ginhawa, no? So during that time, everywhere I went, my friends scattered in many different directions. I lost my friends, and eventually, I began to lose my family. Now, growing up, I used to be very close to my elder brother. I mean, since we're almost 10 years apart, he treats me as a baby of the family. But the height of my addiction, one time my brother looked at me straight in the eye. He said, "You're not the brother I know. You're not even the person I know." Now, during that time, church, that hurt so much. That crushed me. And I wanted to stop my drug use, but I just simply couldn't do it. Now, during that time as well, my own mom could not feel safe at home while I was around. No, basin asa na lang na niya, he puso niya pitaka, he hides it under the bed, he hides it on top of the cabinet. I don't know where she hides his wallet, pero makitaan yun ako. No, my own mom doesn't feel safe at home. So one time, she looked at me, she said, she told me in Chinese, she said, "I don't want to see your face any longer." Now we have the expression, a face only a mother can love, right? But during that time, even my own mom doesn't want to see my face. Now one day, my dad told me, he said in Chinese, "You will not receive a single centavo from me any longer." And church, in our Chinese culture, it's just like synonymous as saying, "You do not have a part of me anymore." But of course, I couldn't blame them because I know what I had become. Now I was shattered, I was devastated, I felt so hopeless. Friends, I was still so young during that time. Now, during the time while my friends were gearing up for their future, there I was. I was a teenage wreck without any future. It was very frustrating. My friends avoided me. I lost my family. I was an outcast. Now, again, I wanted to stop my drug use because I know that was the source of all my problems. But no matter how hard I try, and trust me, guys, when I say I did my best to try, I really did it. But you know what? I just simply couldn't stop. I was hooked, and I just couldn't stop. Jesus said, "He who commits sin is a slave to sin." The word of God is always true. Now, in fairness to my parents, they did their best to help me. They did their best effort to help me get out of my drug addiction. They brought me to the U.S. They were thinking that if I'll be in the States, I will be separated from my barcada. If I will be there for a while, maybe it will break my habit. But you know what, guys? Coming back from the U.S., just a few days or a few weeks later, the first thing I looked for was my drug pusher. My dad became my personal bodyguard. You know, because he doesn't want me out of his sight. He wants me where I am. Ganahagid siya, kuyukuyugan ko niya. There was one time I went to a rock concert. My dad, my 50-plus-year-old dad, was also there just so I cannot escape his sight. Everywhere I went, my dad went with me. But you know what? Every time while my dad's eagle eye is not watching me, you know where I went. That's how severe my addiction was. So the effort of my parents, the money they spent, the effort they spent, the time they spent, all went down the drain. So friends, one Sunday morning while I was still high, I was stricken with so much guilt. I was stricken with so much shame. And the guilt and the shame was just so intense that I was not able to bear it. I mean, I felt for my dad and my mom. I mean, I saw them grieving. I saw the hurt that I was inflicting on them. The shame I was bringing into our family. The trouble I'm causing my siblings. I mean, looking at all these things, guys, it was just so painful. I wanted to escape from a reality, but I just didn't know how. So that particular morning, I wanted to have an overdose. I wanted to end everything that day. I was very desperate. I was extremely hopeless. I was already very tired and frustrated. And I didn't know what to do. So I wanted to hide from my reality. I wanted to hide from my reality. So that day, I decided I'm going to have an overdose with an intention to go crazy. I wanted to go crazy, as in literal crazy. I was thinking, if I go crazy, at least I'm not in my reality anymore. And I thought, if I die getting an overdose, so be it. I die. I was desperate. So that day, I went out and I consumed as much drugs as I can with an intention to get an overdose. I consumed so much that when my friends saw me, when my pushers saw me, they were thinking, naunsa naman ka, nabuang naman ka. No, dukduko na lang, anamoy mong ulo, parang buang dayon ka. So it reached that point. I became very desperate. And you know what, guys? Looking back, all I could say that it was only through God's miracle, it was only through God's divine intervention
that nothing happened to me that day. It's only through God's intervention. Now, friends, like the prodigal son in our story, I hit rock bottom. And I have to face trouble on my own. Now, growing up, I know about Jesus. But I only know Him. There was no relationship between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know He's the Son of God. Yes, I know He died at the cross for me. But that's about it. I only knew about Him. And mind you, friends, I was very religious. I attended church. But you know what? All I had was religion. I never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you must understand, friends, that religion and relationship are two different things. I had religion before, but I never had any relationship. Now, one time, I was already skin and bones. One time, I was in the cab, I was in the taxi, already very tired, already very frustrated, desperate. I was on my way to the pusher's house once again to get another fix. Now, in desperation, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I remembered about God. I remember about God that I remembered about the things about God mentioned during my VBS days, back when I attended Sunday school, that God is love, God is hope, etc., etc. So in desperation during that time, I prayed my shortest prayer. But it was a very honest prayer. And back then, I didn't know how to pray. But all I know is that a loving God somewhere out there existed. So during that time, as I sat in the taxi, confused, I said, verbatim, I said, remember what I said. I said, Lord, dili na ni nako kaya, ikaw na'y bahala sa akong kinabuhi. Now during that time, I didn't make the sign of the cross. I didn't say in Jesus' name. All I knew was that I cried out to God. And you know what, friends? From hindsight, looking back, I came to realize that after saying that very short but honest prayer, that was actually where the turning point of my life started. It was during that time that God started to move and started to intervene in my life. Now, before we go on, let's continue to read what the Lord Jesus said in Luke 15, verse 17 to 20. Says here, Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 20, Jesus said, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, friends, let me just say this again. Sin has the power to enslave. And it's very difficult for us to break free from our sins. And again, big sin, small sin, mortal sin, venial sin, it doesn't make a difference. Because one single sin separates us from God for the rest of eternity. Now, there's a sin which we call independence from God. And that's a very deadly sin, guys. Because it's very subtle. Living a life independent of God, living a life telling God, God, you're off limits from my life. You know, that's a very deadly sin that most people are committing, but yet they are even unaware that they are doing it. Now, friends, sin is a terrible master. It makes you do things that you don't want to do, makes you go to places you don't want to go, makes you say things that you don't want to say. But most of all, sin separates us from God, who is the author of life, who is the source of all hope, who is the source of all joy. Sin is a very terrible master. And friends, the only way for us, or the only way for anyone to break free from sin, is to repent. Now, in order for us to truly break free from our sin, repentance is a must. Now, friends, you have to understand that repentance is not just about saying sorry to God. Repentance is not just about confessing our sins. Repentance is about turning and walking away from our sins and walk back towards God. Repentance is about surrendering our independent self and go near and surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at what Jesus says here in his story, the moment the prodigal son repented, he refused to stay where he was. When he wanted to go back to his father, he left that sinful place and he walked back to his father. And the point is this, friends, if you want to repent, you've got to leave your sins behind and you've got to walk back near to Jesus. And the beauty of repentance is this, friends. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus said in verse 20. It says here, when the son repented, he left that sinful place and he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now you see, friends, when the son was heading home, when he was walking back home to his father, he was already rehearsing what he's going to say to his father. He was already thinking, the moment I'll see my father, I'll tell him, I have sinned against you, I have sinned against heaven, etc., etc. But you know what, friends? While the son was heading home, while he was still far off, when the father saw his son, the Bible tells us that the father felt compassion, that he ran to his son, he embraced his son, he welcomed his son, and he kissed his son. Now, friends, the father didn't even care how his son looked like. He didn't even care how his son smelled. He didn't even care how much his son has insulted him in the past. He didn't care how much his son have hurt him in the past. But yet he ran to his son, welcomed his son, and embraced his son. Now, friends, what's true for this young man is true for each and every one of us. The moment we repent of our sins, maybe some of you here, you're thinking there's a sin that you've committed that God will never be able to forgive you. Friends, let me tell you, that's a lie straight from hell. Because just like this rebellious son, if we turn to God, if God sees us walking back to him, he will run to us, hug us, and embrace us, and accept us as we are. Friends, let me just tell you this morning, there is no sin greater than his love. There is no sin bigger than his compassion. The moment we return to God, we are assured of his forgiveness. We are assured of his love. Now let's read the remaining verse of what Jesus said. This was a time now when the son and the father, when the son went back to his father, says here, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son was dead, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now friends, right here we now see a humble and repentant person. From once a very arrogant, a rebellious young man, we now see here a man who is repentant and humble before his father. And right now, guys, I would just like to underscore what happened or what transpired during this time. When the son returned home to his father, first and foremost, there was no accounting session. The father did not enumerate. He was telling him to say to his son, you know what, son? This is what you did to me. That is what you did to me. I'm sorry, I cannot receive you. That never happened. But the father welcomed him with open arms. And the father running to his son while his son was still far off, that only tells us one thing. All this time that the son was away from the father had always been waiting for his son to return home. And when the father saw the son returning home, he ran to his son and embraced his son. Church, God is always waiting. He is always waiting when we will return to him, when we will come back to him. And I would just like to underscore what verse 22 says here. It says here, the father ordered his servant to put a ring in the finger of his son. Now friends, back in the days of Jesus, in their cultures, slaves were not allowed to have any jewelries. And by placing that ring on his son's finger, the father was just like saying to the son, you know what, son, you're not a slave to anyone anymore. You are my child. I welcome you back to our home. I love you. My love for you is unconditional. You are part of me once again. The father placing that ring onto his son signifies that his son is no longer slave to anyone. That was true for this son, friends, is true for each and every one of us. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, promised us in John chapter 8, verse 36, whom the Son sets free will be freed indeed. Now guys, going back to my testimony, after I prayed that very short but honest prayer inside the taxi, the Lord began to work in my life. And somehow in His orchestration and in His providence, some months later, I was admitted into the House of Hope. Now, House of Hope is a Christian drug rehabilitation center. We do things differently in the House of Hope. House of Hope is the only rehab that I know of that doesn't have security guards, that doesn't have fence. It's the only place where if you want help, we help you. And you know what, guys? I'm very proud to say that House of Hope is a rehab center that has one of the highest rate of rehab here in the Philippines. Success rate here in the Philippines. But yet, it doesn't have any gates. So when I was admitted in the House of Hope, they taught me the Word of God. They taught me the Word of God. I remember during that time, I was very desperate. I felt already very hopeless. I was a teenage wreck. I really thought during that time I didn't have any future. But there in the House of Hope, well, they taught me the Word of God. You know, that the Lord has plans for me, plans to give me hope and future, plans not to harm me. I began to read the Word of God and hope somehow immersed within me or somehow grow within me. Now, during that time, I was excited about life again. I mean, during that time, I just couldn't explain it, friends, but something grew, a new life somehow grew within me. Now, it was inside the House of Hope when I was taught of the Bible that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ more. But this time, I know Him in the heart and not just here. In the past years, I just knew the Lord Jesus Christ here, but never here. But when I was admitted to the House of Hope, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, of how loving He is. Now, one Thursday morning, August 1997, I will never forget this, guys. August 1997, it was a Thursday morning. There was a preacher who came to the House of Hope. Then he was preaching something like this. He said, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you only know Him in the mind, but you never have any relationship with Him, this day is the day that you need to have relationship with Him. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, stepped out of His throne from heaven and came here to earth. Why? Because He was nailed at the cross to pay for your sins. Because you will never be able to pay for your sins. It continues somewhat like this. Even if you do 1,000 good works every day, it doesn't change the fact that you still have sin in you. Your good works will never be able to pay for your sins. That's what he said. Then he continues to say, you know what? The only way for your sins to be forgiven is to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ because He already paid for your sins at the cross. The reason why Jesus came, the reason why He was nailed at the cross, because He was paying the debt. He was paying the debt of your sin that you yourself could not pay. So at the end of his preaching, he said, if any one of you here wants to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus today, I just want you to raise your hand. You know what, friends? During that time, I knew it was Jesus that I needed. I knew that it was Jesus that can rescue me. So without any hesitation back then, I raised my hand. And during that particular morning, August 1997, it was a Thursday morning, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I invited Him to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Now friends, that was 20 plus years ago. Now today, before my mom told me she doesn't want to see my face any longer, right?
But today, my mom could not stop calling me. Oh, Joe, where are you having lunch? Oh, Joe, have you eaten? The relationship is restored, guys. I'm his baby son once again. Now, my dad used to say, you will not receive a single centavo from me any longer. But today, church, praise God. I love my dad. He's my ATM machine. Every time I make an investment, dad, I need this. I said, okay, you go to the bank. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Before, he doesn't trust me with 1 peso. Right now, he trusts me with his life savings. Praise God. No, my brother who told me, you're not the brother I know. You're not the person I know. Church, as I'm preaching right now, my brother is praying for me. Relationship restored. From a drug addict to a responsible citizen. From a drug addict to a person being used by the Lord. My friends, let me just say this to you. The issue here is not about my addiction. It's not even about myself. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whether it be drugs, whether it be white lies, it doesn't change what the Bible says. A single sin can separate us from God for the rest of eternity. Big sin, small sin, mortal sin, venial sin, doesn't matter. And the fact is, even if you just committed one white lie in your life, according to the priest that I went to for confession, he said, one sin is enough to separate you from God for the rest of eternity. And I believe it with all my heart because that's what the Bible says. Maybe like me before, you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you never came to a point in your life where you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. You never came at the point in your life where you have really declared to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. Now friends, before I end, let me just show you this video so that we could appreciate further what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Can we play that video, please? Into this world, he was nailed at the cross. Jesus did it, guys, because he loves you so much. The issue is not even about religion. It's about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A real relationship with Jesus. The reason why Jesus was spat at, the reason why Jesus was mocked, he was beaten, he was punched, he was whipped, he was nailed to the cross. The reason is me. The reason is you. We are the reason why the Son of God came to this world, was nailed at the cross, because he's paying for the sins that we could never pay. A church, maybe like me before, you only know about him, but you never know him. Maybe there's never a point in your life where you have confessed the lordship of Jesus in you. You never came to a point where you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, friends, while we were his enemies, while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Let me just tell you, friends, it's not an accident that you are here this morning. Maybe someone invited you to be here, maybe a family or friend. Let me tell you, guys, it's not your friend or your family that invited you to come. God wanted you to come this morning because he wants you to know that he loves you. Now, the same Jesus that was nailed at the cross 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus Christ who's here with us right now, ready to forgive, ready to receive you, ready to make you new, ready to forgive you of your sins. Now, I'd just like to request everyone to bow your heads as we pray. Everyone, I'd just like to request you to bow your heads. Everyone in the hall, close your eyes because we would like to pray for you. Friends, you are here today because God wanted you to be here today. And if it's your decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, I mean, he died for you, friend. He paid the debt that you can never pay. His nail-pierced hand is because of you. The crown of thorns is because of you. And again, maybe you just know about Him, but you never know Him. So friend, I would like to pray for you. If it's your decision today to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if it's your decision today to invite Him to come into His life, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, if you want to be part of God's kingdom, I would like to pray for you. But just so I will know that I will be praying for someone, at the count of three, I would just like to request you to raise up your right hand if that's your decision today, because we'll be praying together. So friends, if you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, it's not about religion. It's about having a real relationship with the living God. So friends, if you declare Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, at the count of three, I'd just like to request you to raise your hand. Jesus said it clearly in His word, "He who denies me here on earth, I will deny him before the judgment seat." So if you want to receive and surrender, if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, at the count of three, raise your hand. Okay? If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, at the count of three, raise your hand. Let's do this, guys. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, at the count of three, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand, guys. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. I'd just like to request you to where you... You're just right where you are. I will not ask you to come in front. But where you are, please stand up so we'll pray together. Come on, make this step of faith, guys. Make this step of faith. Make this step. Praise God. Thank you for standing up, sister. Thank you for standing up. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You may put your hands down right now. Now, friends, I believe with all my heart that Jesus honors your faith. And He's here this morning. And there's no sin that you have committed you think is too big that He cannot forgive. He's ready to forgive you right now and receive you. So, friends, just repeat this very simple prayer with me and repeat it from your heart. And you who are seated, let's also repeat it to help those who stand. Okay? Repeat this very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come on, let's help them, guys. Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I confess with my mouth that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask of your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, please forgive me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, today, I surrender my life to you. Lord Jesus, today, I invite you to come into my life. I surrender my life to you. From this day on, you are my Lord, you are my God, you are my Savior. Lord Jesus, help me to become a new person. This I ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap, friends.